Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Boys in Blue Recap, Episode 9, the LCS Recap. Unfortunately, I'm sure as you all know now, the Dodgers were unsuccessful in defeating the Braves in the NLCS to advance to the World Series. The Dodgers lose 4-2 on the series to the Braves, but that's, you know, that's the past, and we're here to look towards the future. Brent, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right. I think I've taken this loss a little bit better, knowing that the Dodgers were able to win last year, and kind of knowing just, you know, the reality of the situation, and we'll kind of, you know, talk about that a little bit later, Kevin. But you know, I'm not doing too bad. It is always a disappointment to see the Dodgers come up short.
Yeah.
But you know, the fact that they were still able to make it as far as they did and put up a fight, I think is commendable.
Yeah, especially to say with the injuries that we had, and we'll get into that later as well. And I want to let all of you guys know, again, thank you so much for listening to us through this season. We will be back strong next season, but this will be the last episode listening to this whole thing. We got some great information for you guys. But yeah, I think for the injuries we had, we did good, and it's super hard to repeat in baseball, right? It's one of probably the hardest things to do. Yeah, I mean, in sports, it's a very much – baseball is a game of averages and game of numbers, and – it doesn't favor you. And the fact that we even dominate the regular season every year is phenomenal, that we have these great players that produce. But Brent, let's get into the games really quick. So how we're going to kind of do this today to everyone listening is we're not going to break down every single game specifically, but we're going to kind of break it down as the series in a whole. We're going to talk about the people who kind of produce, some of the flops, what kind of wins we can take away from the series, as well as the kind of things that we need to work on, or the losses that the Dodgers have took. We'll then jump into the injury section and kind of wrap it up with what we need to change, as well as looking at some of the contracts that are up at the end of the year, because there's some big ones, and we want to talk about who we think needs to be re-signed and who we think can be let go. So game one, we lose 2-3. Game two, lose 4-5. We're down 2-0 in the series. We come back game three, pull out a great win, 6-5 win. Go to game four, 9-2 loss. Now it's all must-win games. It is a best-of-7 series. First one to win four moves on. So we win the next one, 11-2, and everything's looking up. The Dodgers are now, it's now 3-2. The Dodgers just got to win two more. Unfortunately, we go to the next game. We lose 4-2. We lose the series. Brent, what did you feel after that 11-2 game? Because I had a lot of hope. But I think what was holding me back was the known injuries and our inconsistency in the postseason. But it's, as a Dodger fan, now just speaking to all other Dodger fans out there, like I think we all had a little bit of hope after that game.
Oh yeah, I definitely. And you know, you think about it, and it followed a very similar pattern to the LCS last year against the Braves. They went down 2-0. They won game three. And they lost game four, and then they won game five, and then game six, and then game seven. So after they won game five, I was like, wow, we have them right where we want them, right? And unfortunately, they weren't able to pull it out. But, you know, props to the Braves. And I do think that, like you mentioned, Kevin, the injuries really did show themselves, and they really took a toll as we got pretty deep into this postseason, especially in this series.
Yeah, and what's really interesting to me, and I think it's important to point out some of the stats right now, and we're going to kind of break that down right now for you guys. Our quote-unquote low producers, at least the people who were not producing well going into the postseason, actually performed quite well, Brent. We have Belly, CT3, AJ Pollock, all people who were on the downswing, and they actually came out for us on top, which really makes you think. And it's a little frustrating, because the guys like the Trey Turners, the Justin Turners, you know, the Corey Seegers, they looked a little lost out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It was amazing to see the turnaround, I think, especially with Bellinger. I mean, what a solid postseason he ended up having. Ended up batting .353.
Insane.
And had a .907 OPS, again, on base plus slugging.
Not bad.
He had multiple super clutch hits in these really important situations, you know, down the stretch in some of these games, you know, in this series, and even, of course, in that game five against the Giants as well. And so, you know, it's so interesting to see that flip that he had. And, you know, of course, with CT3 and Pollock, who, you know, CT3 had, as we talked about, he had a really good start to the season. He was an all-star, and then the second half just really kind of cooled off a ton. And Pollock, while he was fairly hot for a good part of the season, I think in the month of September is where he kind of started to fall a little bit short. But he was injured, you know, he kind of brought it back, and he did as much as he could have done.
Yeah, Mookie, AJ, and CT3 all batting over 300 for us, which is phenomenal. That's what we need to see in the postings from everyone. AJ and CT3 having OPSs over 900 as well, all bringing in almost over, you know, or almost, or all bringing in over 6 RBIs. CT3 having 12. Of course, he had that 3 home run game, which I have to throw in there because, I mean, the only other Dodger player to do that is Kike Hernandez. And the Dodgers have been around for a long time. CT3 is disgusting.
Yeah, what an incredible game that was. I mean, the dude was just locked in. And the fact, too, that he hit the 3 home runs that he hit, it was like pulled to left, it was left to left center, and then it was right center. So he hit them all over the park. Yeah. I mean, it was incredible to watch.
Yeah, it was good to watch. And I think it's also good to mention some of the winners and the good producers was Albert Pujols. You know, someone coming in who knew he wasn't going to play every game. He was only going to go be out there against left-handed pitchers. And he batted .294 for us, Brent. He was getting on base. He was getting bat to ball. And it's unfortunate to see him having better seasons, to be honest, than Justin Turner and Trey Turner, who, gosh, those guys were abysmal. And I hope Justin Turner gets better. He came out with an injury in the final game of the series, but What happened to Trey and Justin? It was a joke.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, what I will say for Justin Turner is, excuse me, in all fairness to him, he battled with some injuries during the season, and I think it became very clear that he was not 100% healthy, and, you know, add the exhaustion and just, you know, playing, you know, such a long season, grinding out the season, and having to play to the very last regular season game because of the battle with the Giants. And then the fact that, you know, although it was a shortened season last year, that they, you know, they did play all the way through the World Series the previous year, and so that's less off-season rest.
Yep.
And JT's a little older, right? He's 36 years old, and so, you know, his body just kind of couldn't handle the amount of stress that it was, you know, was being placed on him. But for Trey Turner, I don't really know what to say.
No excuses.
I don't really know what to say, Kevin. Honestly, it was a pretty disappointing postseason. You know, me watching Trey Turner, this guy won the National League batting title.
It's a joke.
He is an excellent hitter. He really is. But I just did not see the solid approaches that he had in the regular season. It almost felt like every single time he came up to bat that he was automatically had 2 strikes.
Yeah.
And he was just swinging at pitches out of the zone, and just a lot of, I think his swing and miss percentage too, his contact percentage was really low. And so it was just, and he was rolling over on a lot of stuff. So, you know, he was just off balance. And so it's all of that combined. I think it was just very, very disappointing to see.
I think there was a stat that he hit the most ground balls the left side of the field out of anyone. I mean, he had the lowest OPS out of all active postseason players. He was batting .216, which is in the bottom 10 of all averages of all active postseason players besides pitchers. But I mean, everyone else. And again, to hit you with more stats, JT was batting .118. And I understand. Now let's get into Dave Roberts' choice about leaving some of these people. And then here's what I understand. I understand his philosophy is you're going to keep the guys in who have produced for you. And guess what? It worked out for Bellinger, AJ Pollock, and Chris Taylor. It really did. But I honestly do think that there is a strategy or there is something in there that Dave Roberts needs to look at. Because when you see JT and Trey Turner swinging at these terrible pitches, grounding out, and I know, again, we don't have a really deep roster right now. It's filled with injuries. But I don't understand why we kept him in. I'm going to be honest. In some of these games where we could have maybe rested them, given some time off, we kept him in. And again, this also goes back to who else do we play in that spot, right? So it's a double-edged sword. But it's, and maybe this is just anger to Dave Roberts for losing. But it felt like a bad decision to me.
Yeah, I think more so with JT, I would say. I don't think it would be the correct decision to remove Trey Turner. I mean, he was very solid defensively for the Dodgers at second base. But I think a potential move would have been putting him a little bit lower in the lineup. He was batting third the entire postseason, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And to have your third spot be that unreliable and just, I mean, it just seemed like he was an auto out. And yeah. So I think moving him down to five or six maybe would have been a little bit more appropriate. And who knows, you know, that might take the pressure off of him that he knows and he is aware that he's struggling. And so maybe that takes a little bit of the pressure off him and allows him to kind of relax a little bit. And hey, you know, who knows? We'll never know, but maybe that could have helped him kind of get something started.
Are his days done? Are his days numbered? Is this it for JT? Is this kind of, we signed him to this new 3-year deal. We were kind of wary about it. Or it's 2 or 3 years. It's something he wanted, right? He didn't want to sign a 1-year with an option, which we wanted. Is his time kind of over? And who do we replace him with at third base?
You know, I hope it's not. I really hope it's not. But, you know, I mean, he is getting older, like
he's
we said, right, Kevin?
Right? Like,
yeah, he's 36. He's 36, yeah. And you know, he's had a lot of time in the league, in the show, and so I really hope not. I know that the injury he had, that hamstring injury, which those are, you know, those are some of the worst injuries to have because you just can't do anything with a hamstring injury, and so you know, I hope that he's kind of able to rest that up. You know, the off season, he'll have a nice off season. Hopefully, he's able to kind of get back. And you know, I feel like even if he's not an everyday player, maybe he is, you know, a player that is starting, you know, a certain amount of games in the year and is still a reliable bat off the bench.
Yeah, and again, my last part, and I don't even know the answer, Brent, but I don't know who we replace him with. I just don't know. Because to be honest, as a glove, he's great. He had a couple errors in the postseason, which, again, it's not ideal. But a lot of third basemen don't even make the plays he makes, or the balls get past him, and those are doubles. And he gets a lot of stops. And it's going to be hard to replace that going forward. But we have a great farm system. So I have hopes. I have hopes for JT. I have hopes for Trey. I think maybe Trey was kind of in this weird position where, all right, I'm the new guy on the Dodgers. I just batted amazing. It's a lot of pressure on these guys to be in the postseason. And I understand they're professionals. They need to do this. They're stars. They're meant for the postseason. But I'm going to give Trey another year. We have him for one more year. Let's see how he performs in the postseason next year, because I truly think that he can be another star in the postseason like he should be. Let's talk quickly about the injury suffered first that we had, and then we'll go into the wins and losses from the postseason, or at least from this series. Scherzer, Brewhill, Joe Kelly, and Kershaw all had injuries during the series alone. Well, Kershaw earlier, of course, but Scherzer, Brewhill, Joe Kelly, all pitchers for us that had injuries. Justin Turner, Max Muncy. The amount of people that I just said that need to be on the starting lineup, pretty much you can make a case for all these guys needing to be ready at a given anytime. Maybe not Joe Kelly, but this was an issue. And like we kind of stated earlier, I think this long offseason will really help for these guys.
Sure. And I think we especially saw the detriment that having, specifically we think of Scherzer, Brewhill, Joe Kelly, Kershaw, that's already four pitchers that are off. Yeah. And two of those starting. Being starting pitchers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, we have to consider the fact that Dustin May has been out because he, you know, he had a surgery. And you know, but that was a while back, and of course everything with Bauer. And I mean, you think about it that way. We lost four starting arms, and the Dodgers had to work with that. And in the regular season, you can make it work because bullpen games are fine; you can work around that. But when it comes to the postseason, you can't just have bullpen games because every game is so incredibly important, right? And Dave Roberts had to make some really tough decisions and using people on short rest and, you know, switching up the kind of the way things were going to, you know, the way that it was going to be from game to game in terms of starting pitchers, especially with the developing injuries. Like Scherzer literally just said he had nothing in his arm, just was not having it.
Yeah.
So he had to get scratched from that, you know, that game six. And so, I mean, there was just a lot of those pieces. And when it comes to baseball, the injuries really do get exposed when it comes to this time of year.
Yeah, and there's nothing we can really do about it. But again, hopefully they rehab well. Hopefully all of them get better. I wanted to say one thing really quick. This entire podcast, we haven't really mentioned Bauer, but I do think it is something that needs to be said. Without him, we still lost a starting pitcher for this pretty much entire postseason, and that's an issue. And the fact that's where we give a hats off to the Dodgers, right? For going to a game six in the NLCS, for making it this far. Both wins were bullpen games. Game three was a Buehler start, but he only went 3 2/3. So both wins were bullpen games, Brent. And again, let's get into the wins, because I think I have to give a huge hats off to the bullpen. They all performed well. Vesia looks really good for the inning. He can come in and pitch you a solid inning. He's young. We got him on a contract. He's going to be great. Gratterall looked to be in control. Trinan and Kenley, all really good closers. And Brewhill, Bickford, and even Knievel, all really solid, Brent. It was a good bullpen outing in the entire postseason, not just this Braves series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the bullpen was very promising. And, you know, they delivered. They really did. There was those injuries that, again, impeded the bullpen from being even better than it potentially could have been. And they still were able to make it work. And so, you know, I do think that it was really nice to see that. It's very hard to have a very solid foundation for your bullpen, especially when it comes to the playoffs, but it's so important. I mean, I don't think it can be stated how important it is to have a very good bullpen come playoff time. And the Dodgers really did have that. Unfortunately, again, you know, it wasn't enough to make up for the loss that we had, you know, with these other pitchers being out.
Yeah, I agree. But I agree with everything you said. There's nothing else I can really say. I'm proud of the bullpen, and I think this is the first time I've been proud of the bullpen in a long time. Because I feel like the Dodgers have relied so much on starting pitchers, whereas in the postseason, unfortunately, it's usually just the Kershaw who does bad, right?
Right.
This season, it was pretty much everyone. They all had bad games, except for one guy who I want to tip my hats off to, and he didn't even have amazing games, but as a starting pitcher, not coming out of the bullpen, which Dave Roberts utilized him in this series, is Urias. I think he looks strong. It looks like he can handle the pressure. He's, what, 21? He's 20 years old. He's super young. We've had him since he was 16. And he looks to be like a rising star, especially with his regular season stats combined with these postseasons. I'm excited to see the future for Urias because he looks amazing.
Yeah, I think he might be 23.
Oh, he's 24. Older. I thought he was super young.
Might be around that age. But I totally agree with you, Kevin. I think that he's going to be good for a long time as long as he's able to stay healthy. So I'm really looking forward to see how he continues to develop.
Definitely. Brent, let's also look towards some more of the wins. I think what has to be said, and we already kind of talked about Bellinger, I think this will help his next season very well. And this is kind of a springboard for how he will perform next season. I think it's a good reset for him. And I think the offseason will be another good reset to kind of remind him the Bellinger that he is. The last kind of thing I wanted to talk about too with you and with everyone is again, the team dug out. They got to game six against the Braves after being down with you know, elimination games on the line. They were 7-0 in elimination games going into game six. So actually the stats were with them. You know, they had 100% win ratio going into elimination games, and unfortunately they couldn't pull it out. But I think out of all those things, Brent, those are some great takeaways. And Brent, again, I'm excited to see Belly next year. I think it's going to be a good year for him.
Yeah, I agree in that. I think this will kind of be that. It'll kind of kickstart him into next season and be like, hey, you know, this is, I know that I'm capable of doing this, not just in the postseason, but, you know, all season long. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how he bounces back.
Yeah. That's really all we could say really, I think, about the wins. We actually sprinkled kind of the losses in there. I don't want to go too deep into this because I want to try to keep it positive. I want to look towards the 2021-2022 season now. But again, starting pitchers had problems. Offense, like they did all season, was very felt like on and off. And Tony Gonsolin and Trey Turner were real failures for us when I think they should have been. But Brent, let's look forward to the next season. What are some things that we need to look towards the next season, and what really needs to change to ensure that we have a much better postseason in 2022?
Well, again, not to beat the dead horse, but having all these guys come back healthy, right? Yeah. Like, that is going to be so beneficial for this team. I mean, can you imagine having an actual healthy starting rotation?
No, I can't. I can't imagine.
If they're able to kind of dodge the injury bug, which no team can dodge the injury bug, but I mean, if they're able to have it be less impactful than it was this year, I think that, you know, this team still has a really solid core of players, and I don't see them being, you know, I don't see it being them being any less able to compete, you know, for the postseason and compete for the championship. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully there is, you know, more health.
Yeah, I agree. Now let's wrap this up, Brent, by talking about these postseason changes that are going to happen, because we have some big contracts up, some really big contracts. So just, again, for anyone who's unaware, these contracts, when they're up, you know, the player can leave, they can resign. It's going to be another negotiation. A lot of times, especially with the Dodgers, we get a lot of these guys really early in their career on minor league contracts. We develop them through the system and kind of grow them up. Or we Dodgers do a really good job at finding struggling pitchers or struggling players and bringing them up, like CT3, like, you know, Corey Knebel, like these Steven Sose, like these people who are not super amazing at the time, but really growing them, even Corey Seager. So, Brent, I'm going to tell you the contracts that are up at the end of this year. So we're going to either lose them or keep them. And I want you to tell me, out of these people, who do we keep and who do we look to replace? So let's start with the pitchers. Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, again, I have to say it, Trevor Bauer, Kenley Jansen, Joe Kelly, Danny Duffy, Corey Knebel, and Jimmy Nelson. That's eight pitchers that we are going to potentially lose. Who do we keep?
Who do we keep? I think ideally you would keep actually most of them, because, again, you have... And you can't afford it, right? But I think if you're able to get maybe like a two-year deal, I think I could see a two-year deal for Scherzer. Like, that would be something that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
Although he did have some injuries. Scherzer is Scherzer, and he showed just how dominant he can still be in this league despite being at the age that he is. I still think that it's worth to give Kershaw, you know, he's 33, but I still think, despite injuries, that he still can be a solid part of the starting rotation. He won't be, you know, he won't be the number one, but, you know, he could be a reliable number two or number three, and I think that's totally okay. Trevor Bauer is a...
It's hard to talk about him.
It's a difficult situation.
Yeah, it sucks. And it really does suck. And there's no win for anyone in any conversation. Yeah,
and it just sucks because he's such a good pitcher.
Yep.
But, you know, you don't want that kind of
toxicity person. Right? It's just not
you
good.
Don't want that kind of person on your team. And I know that a lot of the Dodgers definitely were not okay with, you know, when all the allegations and all the stuff was coming out about him. So, you know, not really sure what they're going to end up doing with that situation. I think for Jansen, he showed that he is still very much capable of being the closer that the Dodgers have known for the last, you know, what has it been, like 6-7 years? And so I would love to see him get like a, you know, maybe like a two or three year deal. I think that could realistically be the case. In terms of the rest of them, I think, you know, Danny Duffy, Knebel, Jimmy Nelson, I think it wouldn't be too big of a deal if they left. I wouldn't really mind it. I think Joe Kelly would be nice to stay, maybe if they gave him a year. Because you know, when it comes to relievers, I think there's a lot more like kind of they're more likely to get these shorter term contracts just because they do move around a lot from team to team, unless you are someone like a Jansen who you've kind of been with a team for a long time. But I could see, you know, potentially Kelly, that if he got like an extra year, that'd be nice. But, you know, also if he walked, it wouldn't be the worst thing. I don't think it would be the worst thing. He did have some really good moments and some great contributions for this bullpen. But I think that the Dodgers will be able to replace him as well as those other guys with some solid arms.
Yeah. My thoughts are a little different. So Danny Duffy and Jimmy Nelson, out of all the episodes we've done, and I know we started like almost towards the end of the season, but they never been mentioned on here because guess what? They've been injured the whole time. But I'm going to tell all you fans listening at home, we can lose them and not be mad. I think we drop both of those guys. I actually think we keep Corey Knable. I think he's proved in certain innings that he can provide for us. I think he's a solid arm. He's not the best, but he's someone good. And we get rid of Joe Kelly. His inconsistency is just not right for me. I think we can save that money and utilize it in a better area. So that's like the relievers for me. Excuse me. And I agree with you. I think we re-sign Kenley Jansen. I think we give him 2 or 3 more years because he's proved, like you said, he can get it done still. He had a great postseason and a great last half of the season. He goes through slumps. Guess what? Everyone does. We're going to be hard on him when he goes through the slumps, but then he comes out and proves himself towards the end of the season when we need to win, as well as, you know, during the postseason. It's great. So again, these relievers are one inning dudes. We keep Jansen and Knebel. We drop Kelly, Duffy, and Nelson. Now, the starters, we got Bauer, Kershaw, Scherzer. Again, I think we drop Bauer. We're going to move past it. Let's go to Kershaw and Scherzer. I think you're right. I think we need to get Scherzer on a 2-year. He's proven that he has a good enough arm to do this. And why would he not want to spend his last 2 or 3 years of his career in LA? His wife loves it. Trey's here for another year. Come on, just stay a little bit. I'm on the opposite fence with Kershaw. I actually think it's time to go. I understand he's young. And I understand he can be the Scherzer in 4 years. He has too many injuries. He's too inconsistent in the postseason. Even though we won a World Series 2020, I don't care about that. It's we need to look forward now. And we need to look at all the stats combined. He is not consistent. We cannot say he's consistent in the postseason. So I think we use the Kersh money to sign Scherzer for 2 more years and develop some more talent. And hopefully get another 2 or 3 bullpen dudes and maybe 1 really solid starter. That'll leave our starting lineup. Scherzer, Urias, Bueller, and May. That's 4 solid. We buy 1 more. That's 5 solid rotation. And then we get 2 more bullpen dudes. That's my thoughts on the pitchers.
People are about to get their pitchforks out for not wanting to keep Kershaw.
That's fine because I think his time is done. He's been a great asset for us. He's just going to be too expensive and he's going to want that money. And I get it. Someone will probably pay for it. I don't think the Dodgers need to. Brent, talk to me about these position players. Who do we keep? Who do we get rid of?
So we got, who do we got here? We got
Seager,
CT, and Souza.
And T.O. Albert.
Oh, and Albert. Okay.
Don't forget about Albert Pujols. I know. Dodger legend.
I'm sorry, T.O. I'm sorry. So I think ideally I would really love for the Dodgers to keep Seager, but I don't think it's going to happen because he's probably going to be looking at a big contract with a lot of money, which he deserves.
Yep.
He totally deserves it, but I don't think the Dodgers have, like, I don't think they're going to allocate the money for something like that if they're looking towards keeping Trey Turner, because they'll have Trey Turner for 1 more year and then he will be the next shortstop. And I mean, Trey Turner is Trey Turner, right? He, you know, he deserves a big contract too. And so they can't, I don't know if they can really afford to do both of those things at the same time. So I'm predicting that he walks, as much as I, you know, he's one of my favorite Dodgers.
He's only 27.
Yeah.
And Chris Taylor's 31.
It'll be really sad if he does end up going. But I think Souza, I wouldn't really mind them not re-signing him. Yeah. I think he was just, you know, he was all right. I just don't think that he's a very necessary piece that the Dodgers need. On the other hand, I think both T.O., Albert, and CT would be great re-signings. Chris Taylor, of course, I mean, do we even really need to talk about it? He's an extremely versatile utility man. He could basically be a starter on most teams in this league. And, you know, he proved once again that he is a valuable asset in the postseason. I'm not sure, though, if he, you know, especially because of his performance, I'm not sure if his value, you know, is going to be really high. I don't know what kind of contract. It's kind of hard to say. I'm not sure what kind of contract people would be offering him. Yeah. And I'm not sure if he is willing to, you know, forego as much money to maybe stay in LA, or if they're just going to give him the contract. It's really hard to say because it almost seems like a situation similar to Kike.
Yeah, Jock.
You know, and Jock, where, you know, they kind of wanted that. They wanted their own time to be a starter, a regular starter on a team. And, you know, they both had wonderful seasons. And so I could see that happening for CT as well, as much as I wouldn't want him to. For Albert, I think that he brings great leadership.
Yeah.
And a really positive presence in the dugout. And, you know, I mean, he was doing the hugs, the home run hugs all year. And I think he really does, you know, help pass down a lot of baseball wisdom to some of these younger players. Yeah. And he seemed to really enjoy himself. I think he really did when he was in LA, or for the Dodgers rather. And, you know, if he'd be
willing to take...
You could
say LA. The Angels are Anaheim. That's Orange County.
Sure. if he'd be willing to take a minimum, you know, like a veteran minimum, which I can't see. I don't think... At this point in his career, I don't think money is the thing for him. I think he wants to still play as long as he can play, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think we try to keep T.O. for a year, give him one more year with us, and then maybe he can go take one more veteran with the Cardinals or something to end out his career. Because I think he will end his career with a year with the Cardinals, to be honest.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think it's important to have these guys in the dugout. These veteran dudes who have been around, who have seen it all, and who can lift the spirits, like what we did with Chase Utley. We brought Matt Kemp back. You know, with these veteran guys who've done it before.
David Freese.
The Dodgers, baseball as a sport does it a lot, and I think it's good for the sport. And I think it's good for the young guys to see these people who they've grown up idolizing. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Steven Souza, I agree. We don't need to keep him. I think he showed promise, but... He was a fringe player. He went up and down between Oklahoma and LA. So if we lose him, we do. If we don't, maybe he'll grow into something we don't know. This is where I'm going to be a little different. I think we try to sign Seager over CT3. If we can sign both, let's keep them both. But I just think Seager being 27 and CT3 being 31, CT3's next contract, again, this is if we have to keep one, he's going to want something super big and be stable until he's 34 or 35. I don't know if we can do that, but what I think we can do is lock a Seager contract in. Again, a 27-year-old who's only on the up, lock him in, and I understand we have Trey, but it looks like we figured out where everyone's playing. Looks like they're gelling well. I think we keep Seager, and if we have to let go of someone, we let go of CT3. But again, in a perfect world, we keep them all. It'll be a very interesting postseason, and offseason, and that leads us to the end of the show. Thank you again, everyone, has listened to every single episode. We appreciate you. We love you. We love talking about the Dodgers, and we love that you're here for that. We will have one show in the offseason to kind of talk about some of the transfers that have happened, what it's looking at. Maybe we even talk about spring training a little bit and look forward to the 2021-2022 season. But until then, again, thank you guys so much. And Brent, do you have anything that you have for the people?
Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in and listening to Kevin and I go on and on about these Dodgers that we love. And, you know, we really do appreciate it, like Kevin was saying. And, you know, we're going to be back better than ever next season. We'll be back. We'll be covering all the games just like we've been doing.
Yep.
Be hitting you with all the stats, all the funny quips,
yeah.
All the hot takes. So, you know, look forward to all of that.
Yeah. Again, everyone, thank you guys so much. It's unfortunate that we can't do more episodes this year. Again, we'll be back hard next year. And please email us at bibrecap@gmail.com in the off season. If you have any questions, if you want us to talk about anything in our spring episode. But again, thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.